The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We want to welcome our podcast audience and YouTube audience as well. Today, we've got a mess to sort out. We're going to be talking about a couple things here today. That's why I've highlighted this or titled this podcast today, Where Do We Go From Here? I want to get you up to speed to some of the things that's going on right now. Present tense, the mainstream media here in the United States of America, I recognize that people are coming on here from outside of the United States, but I'm speaking just for my folks here in the U.S. Right now in the United States of America, the mainstream media has officially announced, and I emphasize that again, the mainstream media has officially announced that Joe Biden is the winner of the 2020 presidential election. However, not all major news networks have went on board with this. One major, I wouldn't say major, but one network that's kind of off the grid called Newsmax has actually refused to call Joe Biden the winner of the election. Despite all major news networks announcing this this weekend, according to Newsmax, the election remains very close and President Donald Trump continues to contest results in several states and all votes should be counted. Newsmax went on further to dispute the announcement of Biden being the president and say that the media should not make the determination of the winner under these circumstances. So on a technicality, I guess Newsmax would be correct. The official announcement of this will come, in January, I believe it is. So this thing, according to the Trump administration, is going all the way to the Supreme Court. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I could be wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. And I'm not saying it's a word from God. Good Lord, please. That's all we need, somebody else saying that the Lord told him something about the election. So I'm not saying that God is speaking to me about this, but I feel like this is not going to be reversed. I feel like this is what we've got, and this is what we're dealing with, and that's why I've named this, Where Do We Go From Here? However, not everyone is on board with that, and I recognize a lot of our listeners today and our viewers are also on the same board saying it's not over yet. We're still going to continue. We're going to do this, and that's what we're doing. We're moving forward. We're still occupying till the Lord comes. We're still pressing on. People still have to go to work, or at least I'd say most of us still have to go to work. Life goes on. We have to move forward. We have to continue to do what we've always done as American citizens. However, one rabbi, here we go again, another day, another prediction from a rabbi, right? Rabbi Weisberg at Macon Machine Torah, who is a follower of the branch of the Hasidic Judaism, has recently stirred controversy with his latest prediction regarding the recent presidential election outcome in the U.S. According to a report from Israel 365 News, a rabbi recently posted a video in which he cites media sources claiming that Biden has won the presidential election. According to Weisberg, nothing legally happened. So he's kind of dovetailing off or echoing what Newsmax has said. He claims that the media does not determine the winner of the election and that the victor is officially certified by the Electoral College and by the Senate, House of Representatives, and the National Archives. The rabbi went on further to state that representatives from each state's Electoral College will meet in their respective state capitals on the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December. Quote, this year it falls on December 14th in the middle of Hanukkah. According to the rabbi, this is a miraculous time for the Jews. He went on to say, then on the 6th of January, the Senate and the House will assemble at 1 p.m. in a special session in the Capitol to declare the results. Now, This rabbi goes on further to say that, quote, there are many times in our history when it looked like the end was near, and then suddenly the salvation of God, like the blink of an eye, would manifest or would appear. He quotes from the book of Esther chapter 4, and he says, quote, in reality, except for himself and his wife, I don't think one single American voted for Biden. Again, that's not my comment or my opinion. That was the rabbi's. They voted to remove Trump. It makes no difference to them who occupies his seat. As long as the person who occupies the Oval Office will allow individuals of the left and BLM to continue in their own unholy war to evict God and the Ten Commandments from the heart of America. Biden has already begun to use deceptive powers granted to him by the primordial serpent. Again, this is an opinion, a comment by this rabbi. The rabbi then gives a quote from Joe Biden, America. I'm honored that you have chosen me to lead our great country. The work ahead of us will be hard, but I promise you this, I will be a president to all Americans, whether you voted for me or not. I will keep the faith that you have placed in me. That was a quote from Joe Biden. The rabbi went on to say, what exactly does he mean when he says, I will keep the faith of both the Americans? Of both the Americans that did vote for him and those who did not. According to Rabbi Weisberg, he said, quote, the Americans that voted for Trump voted to ensure that this country remains true to the dreams and aspirations of our founding fathers, that it to be a country that allows the moral dictates of the Ten Commandments, that it be a country that understands, that the inalienable rights of every individual were granted by God. A war against God is a war against the very essence of our country and its, quote, foundational underpinnings. He went on to say the Americans who voted for Trump understood that his unflinching and unparalleled support for Israel is based on a moral imperative that has nothing to do with politics. He goes on to say that how does Biden intend to keep the faith of those voters and the other half who believe the very opposite? He goes, I'm not going to read all this, guys, but I want to read. The rabbi finished his message by emphasizing that in the past, he had predicted that Trump would be given more time to complete the mission given to him by God. The rabbi has since then stood by this prediction. Listen to this, predicting that Biden would not come to power. The rabbi cited the last vision in the book of Daniel, the prophet, the book of Daniel written by, quoted from Daniel, the prophet, in which the wicked are revealed. He says, quote, the founding fathers of the U.S. of America envisioned that our country would be a fulfillment of that dream. The rabbi explained that Trump is the final version of Esau, that as Rome and Edom undergoes the dramatic transformation described in the book of Daniel. And after the transformation, Esau will fight for Jacob. So, again, this is according to the rabbi. I guess only time will determine whether or not this rabbi, along with many other alleged prophets in America, will be right with their assertion, with their predictions, and with their prophecies that Trump will win indeed a second term in the White House come when this thing goes to the finality of everything that has to be declared. I'm going to give you some of the trending headlines today. This is all in relation to what we're talking about. One popular televangelist, mega church pastor, Kenneth Copeland, made headlines recently after appearing in what are many deeming a, quote, bizarre video, where he is seen on video in his church, and he is heard laughing for nearly a full minute as he mocks the media for calling the 2020 election in favor of Joe Biden. According to the Daily Mail, the 83-year-old Texas pastor, who is estimated to be worth $760 million, regularly films his services and was captured on camera making the strange comments. Copeland is seen on video and heard saying, quote, the media said what? And then he continues to laugh and laugh and laugh again for nearly a minute. Copeland asked before he continued to fake laugh. The incident took place following the mainstream media declaring former Vice President Biden as the winner on Saturday. Copeland's sarcastic laughter continued for 40 seconds, whipping the crowd into a frenzy before ending with a final whoop. Some of the congregants were even seen in laughing so hard that several of them even stood to their feet to continue laughing alongside Copeland. The strange occurrence has led to a chorus of reactions that by many that took to social media. Some agreed. Some was in agreement with him. Others blasted Copeland, said, quote, dude, one Anita Luis on Twitter said, quote, the dude has lost his mind. Another one said, quote, for a group of people transfixed on demons and the Antichrist, they sure have a hard time spotting what's right in front of them, one user said. Another one said, quote, I defy anyone to watch that 41 seconds and tell me demonic possession isn't a thing. And I'm not going to read all these because, again, I'm not pointing to one side. I'm not in support of Copeland and I'm not against Copeland. I'm just giving you the report here. So don't get mad at me. I'm only sharing to you what took place. Again, this is not the first time that Kenneth Copeland has made headlines and that has been in the spotlight of media and journalism and everything else. In fact, he was recently interviewed by one popular news broadcast, which they got right up in his face and asked him a bunch of questions. That was caught on video. And then when the coronavirus came back in April, he was caught on video at his church screaming on the camera saying, wind almighty strong, south wind, heat, burn this thing. And he yelled, in the name of Jesus, Satan, bow your knees and fall on your face. And he began to make all these comments about coronavirus. And many of you already know what I'm talking about because people went to TikTok, they went to YouTube, and they made all kinds of spoofs and memes and videos. And that's where they got that from. So again, this is not the first time or probably the last time Copeland has made headlines. And another time he made headline recently was when he was asking people to sow into his ministry to in order for him to purchase this jet airliner or this Cessna plane or whatever it was that cost like a lot of money. I don't know. I don't have all that in front of me, so I can't give you the full details of how much it actually costs. But nevertheless, let's move on, guys. I want to talk about something else. Many alleged prophets who claim that Trump would win this election are sticking to their guns. They're sticking to their words. And they're saying that they did not get it wrong and that it's not over. I want to repeat that. Many of these, and I say alleged prophets, claim that Trump, that it's not over for Trump and that they did not get it wrong and that it's not over. Now, I will say that when I wrote this article, this was before it was announced on Saturday by the mainstream media that Biden won. So this was, I believe I wrote this on a Friday. Then on Saturday, the announcement was made. So it's interesting. Let me read this. Many alleged prophets in the body of Christ are sticking to the prophecies and said that they heard from God that Donald Trump would win a second term. At the time of this article being written, again, this was on Friday, before the announcement by the mainstream media, it looks as if this is going to be impossible in the natural. However, excuse me, many of those same prophets are saying, hold on, it's not over. One of these prophets who said Trump would win a second term was author and prophet Kate Kerr, who told the Elijah's List, and this is a publication of all these people who give prophetic words, and you can get it emailed, and every single day you get a prophetic word, and anyway, I don't want to go into all that. But nevertheless, she went on to say that, quote, the prophets did not get it wrong. Instead, she insists that God is getting ready to uncover corruption and evil and that it will be a landslide of exposure. Quote, the rocks are about to move and Trump will be president no matter what you hear, according to Kerr. She said, quote, it will start with a phone call and then I can tell you, you will be shocked to see how much exposure comes from that. But Trump will win. She went on to say, quote, he will be the president of the United States. He will sit in that office for 4 more years and God will have his way in this country. But Kerr is not alone. Author and prophetic minister Jeremiah Johnson also believes before Trump is declared the winner, former Vice President Biden may prematurely announce that he is the next president of the U.S. Johnson wrote to his followers, quote, either a lying spirit has filled the mouths of numerous trusted prophetic voices in America, or Donald Trump really has won the presidency and we are witnessing a diabolical and evil plan unfold to steal the election. Earlier this year, Johnson shared a dream. By the way, he wrote this in a book. It's published. You can find it on Amazon. In this book, Jeremiah Johnson shared about a dream that he had where Trump was running a race that he believed was about the election and was even written in his book. And he wrote, quote, and about 100 yards from the finish, Trump tripped and fell down and he could not get up. The crowds were spitting on him and they were jeering at him. And suddenly two older women, Jeremiah Johnson said, quote, whom I knew were baby boomers, somehow made their way through the crowd and supernaturally lifted Trump up and helped him get to the finish line. Johnson said that, quote, I believe God is calling on baby boomers in this nation to take your stand and believe with me that the best is yet to come. According to CBN News, 2 weeks before the election, Pastor Denise Gullett, I believe it's how you pronounce that, of the International Church of Las Vegas, prophesied over Trump while he was in attendance on that Sunday service, declaring publicly that he would win a second term. Even CBN's own Pat Robertson is on video saying publicly that the Lord spoke to him that Trump would win a second term. This was done during a live broadcast on the 700 Club, where Robertson stated, quote, I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election. Now, I want to stop right there just so we can digest all this for a second because this is a lot to take in. Now, I want to give you my own perspective. This is what I wrote in my article. So I'm going to give this to you in verbal form, what I gave in written form. One thing is for sure, because I don't want people blasting me. Oh, brother, you need to be careful. I've been unfollowed. I've been unfriended. I've been banned. I've been unsubscribed. I've been ostracized. I've had friends of mine unfriend me, ban me, the whole nine yards. So I want to make this clear right now. I want to make this clear what I'm about to tell you. In fact, I got something else here I wrote up that I want to share with this. So I want to get this out here on record so everybody will hear clearly what I'm about to say. One thing is certain. A lot of these prophets are either going to gain much respect and credibility soon if this thing plays out and it is reversed by the Electoral College, those powers that be, the Supreme Court, whatever it is, if this thing is reversed and Trump does win a second term, I want to say this again, hear it loud and clear. All these prophets will gain much respect and credibility. However, if Trump does not win a second term and it's not reversed in his favor and Biden does officially win the presidency through the process, then listen to me clearly. There's going to be a lot of credibility and trust lost in the prophetic voice of the church today. So you can mark my words. You can tell everybody, Brother Ricky said this, because that's what I said. There has been at least a couple I know that originally prophesied that Trump would win a re-election, and they've already, before this thing has played out even further, they've already come out publicly and asked, and they've apologized and they've repented for getting it wrong. And I honestly, they could be jumping the gun. They could be doing it prematurely because we really don't know what's going to happen yet. But nevertheless, you've got to have much respect for these guys because they're showing a level of humility, which I'm telling you, a lot of these folks are not. I wrote some more stuff down that I want to talk about. Because here's the flack that I'm getting from a lot of people online, email messages, personal phone calls, is that we're under this. Again, this is not my opinion. This is what I get told to me all the time. Well, Brother Ricky, we're under the New Testament. We're not under the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was harsher consequences for those who called themselves prophets, and they would foretell an event, or they would prophesy something, and if it didn't come to pass, they were stoned under the New Testament law, or they lost credibility, or they would be ostracized by those prophetic the circles and whatnot. But we're under this is the argument that I keep getting to me. We're under the New Testament. We're under the dispensation of grace. We're under mercy. Therefore, we can't do that today. And it's almost like what I'm seeing is anyone who actually dares contest or question any of these prophets on the fact that they may have missed it. I didn't say they missed it. I said they may have missed it. We don't know yet, and we will know officially come December or come January. But I'm saying I'm disturbed by what I'm seeing in the body of Christ today, that if anyone dares contest or question any of these prophets, then we are marked as the bad guys. I had people, again, close friends of mine who have terminated friendship with me because I dared brought to question if these individuals indeed fail in their prophecy, is anyone going to hold them accountable? So my question is today to you and to those listening by podcast, listening by YouTube, listening by Facebook, how to today under the New Testament dispensation of grace, how do we distinguish in 2020 true and authentic prophets from those who are not? I'm asking you a question today. What are the standards? I mean, for me, I can tell you I have sat under real prophets. Yes, I do believe there is real prophets today. I still believe in the prophetic today. I'm not a sensationist. I don't believe that the gifts of the Spirit went out with the apostles in the fourth century. I don't believe that. I believe in real prophecy. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, not only because I've seen it happen, it's because God has even used me to give prophetic words. It's very rare. But God is using, and it's more on a personal level and not on a national level. But I have sat under, here's the thing, I have sat under real prophets who did not miss it. And when they prophesied things, you could write it down and take it to the bank. When they said it, it would come to pass. They didn't miss it. Now listen, when they got a prophetic word, they prayed over it. They fasted over it, and only after prayer, fasting, and seeking the counsel of other prophets and elders and those that are more seasoned, only then would they release it publicly. And by the way, that's Bible, by the way. I can show you in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and he said himself that if there is a prophet among you, let him prophesy one or maybe two, or maybe three, and one another. They prophesy to each other. They, in private, and they learn. They learn from one another. He talks about this in the Church of Corinth. In the Old Testament, there's references to what we would call the school of the prophets. Lastly, again, this was established and it was properly to train and equip prophets on how and when to properly deliver a word. They would deliver a word in private and it would be weighed out by the elders and other prophets who are more seasoned, and only then, if it was deemed to be legit, then it would be released publicly. And I gave this illustration on my personal Facebook page, and I'm going to give you this. If we was to illustrate this like driving school, it would be like taking, it would be, I'm going to use my son. He's 12. He's going on 13 years of age. In 3 years, probably 2 years, we're going to be starting to teach him on how to drive. Now listen, when I teach him how to drive, we're going to put him behind the wheel of a vehicle. We are not going to put him on the highway. We're not going to put him on the freeway to teach him how to drive. No, we're going to go into an empty parking lot so that he can learn how to steer the vehicle properly, learn how to park it, learn how to use the equipment properly. Why? Watch, listen to me. Because in a parking lot, the worst that can be done is he can bang up the wheels or maybe curve the tire, but it won't result in the harm of others. But if we was to put him straightway onto the highway or to the freeway and as a novice and throw him out there, not only could he put himself in danger, but he could put the lives of other people in danger. Guys, I'm telling you, I know we're in 2020. And prophecy is thrown around like it's nothing. There's no fear of God anymore. I mean, we have publications on prophecy. This to me is no different than a horoscope. Listen, you can go ahead and unfollow me, unfriend me, get mad at me. I don't really care. It don't matter to me. But when we get to a place where we're no different than your daily horoscope, you know, you can get online, you can pick up a newspaper, and you can read your daily horoscope. Well, I'm Capricorn, or I'm this, or I'm that, and I can read it and see what my horoscope is today. Well, now we've got prophetic publications where you can get emailed to your inbox every day. You don't have to get in your word. You don't have to pray. You don't have to fast. You don't have to be committed to a church. You don't have to be under accountability to anybody. You just get your daily digest or your email and get a prophetic right now word right to you at your convenience. I don't think it works like that. My Bible doesn't say it works like that. I can't find that in Scripture nowhere. So I'm old school. I know I'm old school. I can't adhere to the new wineskin of this that's happening in the body of Christ. And listen, people are dropping right now. I'm watching the live feed and people are leaving just like this. They don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear correction. So it's just sad. So my question is, where do we go from here? I want to give you in verbal form what I wrote in written form. I blogged about this weekend. And I want to talk about this. Where do we go from here? I feel like we need to be reminded that in times past, God used even the most wicked kings to bring about his will in the earth. Let me ask you a question today. What if Trump doesn't win the election? Let's just lay aside all the quote unquote prophetic words. Let's lay all that aside for a second. What if Trump does not win the election? What if he don't win a second term? And Biden does go forward and he does officially win the presidency. Then what? I want to remind you today that in times past, God used the likes of a Nebuchadnezzar, he used a Pharaoh, and he even used a Cyrus to fulfill his purpose in a specific season that he deemed fit. By the way, Trump was compared to as a Cyrus. Now, a lot of people call Trump a man of God, even though I question that. And you can get mad. Here we go. Let's let that number drop even some more. I even question it because I heard with my own ears this quote, man of God, get up and use F-bombs and even say the Lord's name in vain. And that made me cringe. So I liked what John Kilpatrick said. He said, I don't believe like a lot of people and say that Trump was a man of God, but he believes that he was a man that God used. And that's really where I want to go today and emphasize this. God used the likes of a Nebuchadnezzar, a Pharaoh, and even a Cyrus to fulfill his purpose in a specific season that he deemed fit. I want to remind you of the prophet Daniel that told us that it is God who sets up kings and God who sets down kings for his kingdom purpose. Listen, friends, God used Donald Trump for 4 years to accelerate prophetic events. And I'm going to say this, God used President Barack Obama, or former President Barack Obama, he used him for 8 years to fulfill his purpose. You say, well, what kind of purpose was that? Listen, do you understand Bible prophecy? I know Bible prophecy and eschatology and the study of end times is not popular and it's not taught by most mainstream churches and most prominent pastors and most prominent teachers and Christian television networks don't talk about it and most books are not about it today. I know we don't want to hear this and there's a stigma in the body of Christ about Bible prophecy, but you are on a page and you are listening to a ministry that pretty much deals with Bible prophecy and the times and the signs and the times of the end. So let me just get on my little soapbox about this for a second. You do realize whether we like it or not, there has to come a generation that is alive, breathing, and on the earth at the time when we begin to see all these things come to pass. There's got to be a group of people that's going to be alive and here that's going to see the acceleration and see the fulfillment of these things coming to pass. Now, if that's the case, and if that's the truth in which it is, don't you have to stop and think for a second that there has to come world leaders, plural tense, not leader, singular, but there has to come leaders of nations that are using the playbook of not only the kingdom of hell, but they're actually being, come on, they're being used by the playbook of heaven. Because if you go to the book of Revelation, when the Antichrist comes into power, the Bible says that God himself puts it into the hearts of the 10 kings of prophecy to surrender their sovereignty and surrender their authority and their power to the Antichrist for 1 hour's time. Now, I'm sure that if you folks that don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture and you believe we're going to go through the tribulation and you're here during this event and during these sequence of events when these 10 kings give their power over to the beast, I'm sure many of you will probably be screaming at your television saying, this is not God's will. I can't believe these 10 kingdoms would give her their power over to the beast. I can't believe they're surrendering their sovereignty. I can't believe they're going after the Antichrist. This is not God's will. When in fact, if you read the Word of God, it is God's will. What I'm trying to tell you is, guys, think about this for a second. If it's God who raises up kings and it's God who sets down kings, if God is sovereign, if God is all-knowing, and if God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, if all these things are coming to pass, friends, I'm telling you, it's possible that God has used Donald Trump, and I'm going to talk about that more in detail for a second about what God used Trump to do, but now he's positioning to move him out of the way. And again, that's if Trump loses, and he's putting Biden in the way for a greater purpose. Watch this. Let me get into that more right now in detail. God used Trump for 4 years to accelerate prophetic events regarding the nation of Israel, regarding peace treaties. Trump stood and fought for the church. He fought for the unborn. But sadly, many feel like God can never use Joe Biden to fulfill his purpose. Many don't realize that the Bible speaks of the dispensation of grace, which is basically, in a nutshell, a sovereign time frame in which God's unmerited favor will open the door for both Jews and Gentiles to come into covenant with him through the shed blood of Jesus through faith in him. However, this time frame will eventually come to a climax or come to an end, and we will move and transition into what I personally call the age of apostasy. And by the way, I believe we're there. I firmly believe that we're entering in to the age of apostasy, and we're coming out of the age of the dispensation of grace. In fact, over the past 10 years, we have really heavily gone into this age of apostasy. While many are left disheartened and hopeless from the election outcome, or what appears to be the election outcome, we have to remember this, that prophecy must be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled the way the Lord sees fit to it and not us. Remember, in the end times, Israel will be in a time where the U.S. will not be there at their side, and they will be left alone to fight a coalition of nations that are revealed in the prophetic war of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Many speculate how this could even happen, but I would like to suggest to you that it is very possible, in order to fulfill this, that there will likely not be a leadership that is pro-Israel standing for America when this happens. Are you getting what I'm saying today? We also read in the book of Daniel, will there be a covenant of peace? There will be a covenant or a peace treaty that will be established with Israel and many nations that will be confirmed for a period of 7 years by a man that we know as the Antichrist. The next thing I want to say to you today is there's going to be, and this is going to be quite controversial because it is my personal opinion, but I struggle to find America even mentioned in Bible prophecy in the time of the end. Now, of course, there'll be many today that will be on this Facebook broadcast or podcast or YouTube, and they will attempt to make America fit in prophecy through symbolism and through dreams or through visions or prophetic words and utterances. But many theologians and even scholars have pointed out that it appears that America is completely missing, and some even speculate that America could actually fulfill the role of mystery Babylon mentioned in the book of Revelation that will be destroyed in 1 hour's time. Now, I want to leave you with this. Though this sounds like it is not good news today, I want to remind you that the true good news is that we have a blessed hope and salvation through Christ and His free gift of salvation. So we all need to be reminded today that our mandate is to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Even the Lord Jesus Christ told us to occupy until He comes. So where do we go from here? We keep pressing forward, advancing the kingdom of God in the earth. We keep warning people to get right with the Lord. We keep revealing to them the signs of the times. We exhort, we edify, and we rebuke. God is still on the throne with or without Donald Trump in the White House. And that's the conclusion of my prophetic viewpoint today on this Monday. So guys, again, I know this is a lot to chew on. Please share this. Tag some people in this. Share the link if it's on YouTube, podcast, Facebook. Let everybody know. Thank them. Or we thank you guys for jumping onto the broadcast. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. You can follow us there. You can get more information like this. Don't forget to subscribe to our daily digest. By the way, some of y'all know this, some of y'all don't. We used MailChimp for years for our daily digest, and we got a notification on Saturday morning that they had suspended our account over a policy, something to do with a policy. So I emailed them, reached out to them, and they have come, and we prayed about it, and they reversed the decision. So praise God, our email digest are going to, you should get this back up going again tomorrow. So again, sign up for the digest so you can get that brought into your inbox every single day. You'll get that into your inbox. It's going to keep you up to date of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. If you've not downloaded our app, please do that. End Time Headlines. You can go to the Apple Store, go to the Android Store, download that app. get that free app, download it. You can keep up with our push notifications, keep up with our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, our podcasts, our YouTube messages, all that's going to be at your fingertips. So don't forget to do that. Download the app. It's free. We're working on things behind the scene. Right now, the default browser has to be set to Safari, but we're working on trying to get that to be universal to whatever browser it's used. If you'd like to support this ministry, if this ministry is a continual source of edification, equipping, information, whatever the case may be, if you're blessed by our weekly broadcast and you'd like to become either a one-time giver or a monthly partner to our ministry, you can do that by visiting our main website, again, at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can do that. You can also, when you go there, just click on the link, or if you have the app, go down all the way to the bottom to the right. You're going to see where it says donate. Click on that, and you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. All that information is going to be on your screen. If you're watching this by YouTube, you can see that as well. If you're listening by podcast, again, all that information is there for you as well. So we love you guys. God bless you again. Thanks for coming on here today. We're going to sign off for today. We'll likely be back on Wednesday with another prophetic viewpoint. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.